It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here.
740-383-9944. Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to Swap Shop. And we have kind of curtailed Swap Shop and probably won't get back to it till later in the year when people will feel more comfortable going and picking up something from somebody's house in person. Now, I've been looking at several things that I'd like to get used on Craigslist, but I just wonder how many people really are driving to somebody else's house and greeting them rather closely and paying them money that their hands have been touching. And I kind of doubt that a lot of people are doing that. If maybe Craigslist is struggling right now. I hope you're not struggling right now. We had a great call in from Charlie Evers. Charlie's show, he did his show yesterday, and today he did a call in, and Scott and I kind of helped cover with some rather bawdy humor. And we're trying to keep you happy out there. There's a lot of things to be sad about right now, and I can't honestly say that it's a time to make fun of anything, but we're trying to keep a smile on your face. Scott and I are keeping smiles on our faces by playing those trivia games with you that we do. And then thanks a lot for Jeff Ruth calling in and shooting the bull, as we called it on the air. And we never did figure out why it was called shooting the bull. That would be nice to know. If you, by the way, if you have any answers to all this stuff, that I'm going to be talking about things that you don't really know about Easter. We're going to be talking about Easter. It's coming up next Sunday, this coming Sunday. And we're going to talk about that during the show. And if you have any comments that you'd like to add to our audience's collective intelligence, call 740-383-9944. Let me give you that one more time so you can write it down. Got your pencil? Get that piece of paper. Oh, the pencil's broken. Now you got to get a pen. There you go. All right. 740-383-9944. You're listening to Swap Shop and Glenn Coble, and we're not going to do any swapping today. All right? All right. Some of the interesting facts about Easter. Well, one of the things as a minister's son, I really loved Easter. I loved Easter and Christmas. It was always a family thing. And we always had, on Easter, we always had Easter eggs. There are always questions of whether you like the peeps or you like the chocolate eggs. It might get into that. But one of the questions was, why do we dye eggs? You know, and the eggs have become very, very ornate, some of the ones that are dyed right now. But this is kind of an interesting tale of why we originally started to dye the eggs. And originally they were dyed red, all right? In the Orthodox and Eastern Catholic churches, eggs were dyed red to represent the blood of Jesus. It was before the blessed and distribution of the congregates. I have trouble when I have to use all those religious terms. Being a Methodist minister's son, I didn't know all the Catholic terms. But that's they were dyed red to represent the blood of Jesus. And then they kind of moved out from that. The red eggs were really nice looking, so why not make them yellow eggs? And then why not make them green eggs? And, you know, that's led to an awful lot of different things. I remember, and I think it's against the law now, but when I was a kid, you could go and buy chickens, little baby chickens that were dyed pink or green or blue or red. I'm not sure the chickens cared. You know, they don't care about the fashion statement or anything like that. But I don't think they were it was considered a healthy thing for the chickens to do. I'm not sure about that. If you know why they decided to make it illegal to dye them, you might call. I have no idea. They even had bunnies that were dyed pink and red and blue and orange and green. I never had one of those. But along the line with that, you could get Peeps. You remember Peeps? Well, you can still buy them. And I'm sure that they're one of the top candies that sell around. That and M&M's, the shape of eggs. Those have to be some of the top candies available. I don't happen to have that on my list, I don't believe, of trivia things. What's your favorite candy? My favorite, I think, I like Peeps, but one will go a long way. I think I do like the M&M's that have the peanut in it, and they're shaped like a, and they were, you can buy those at any time of the year, but that's kind of my favorite. I do like the Reese's eggs. I like anything with peanut butter in it. All right. You know, most adults prefer milk chocolate to the dark chocolate. It's kind of interesting, though. The milk chocolate is not as good for you as the dark chocolate, I'm told. Now, where does white chocolate fit into that? I think I've heard that white chocolate doesn't have any cacao in it, if that's the way you pronounce that word. But I like white chocolate quite a bit, especially when I have dark chocolate and regular milk chocolate mixed together. I'm not a big chocolate fan, but at times like Easter, I do partake in an awful lot of chocolate. I know my grandkids all like chocolate. I can't imagine a kid not liking chocolate. Can you? I suppose there are some kids. I do know you don't want to give chocolate to your dogs. We had a little puppy dog that kind of snuck around and got into some of our Easter egg baskets and ate a bunch of chocolate. And the house cleaning after that was immense. That poor puppy. She couldn't hold anything down from either end. But she lived. She lived to a ripe old age, and we were happy for her, happy that she got healthy. But chocolate is apparently very bad for dogs. I imagine if you eat enough chocolate, it's not good for adults either, or definitely not for kids. Sick tummies come from it, that sort of thing. Actually, you know, adults are actually twice as likely. This is one of the trivia questions. I guess they're not trivia. They're just interesting questions. But adults are actually twice as likely to prefer milk chocolate. The milky, anything that has milk in it with the chocolate, you know, any degree of milk. They do not like the dark chocolate, which is what I think you use in a lot of chocolate chip cookies, because they're a little bit stronger. I'm not sure. I'm not a cook by nature. However, I did take, when I was in college, I tried to find any course I could take and get an easy A, right? So I took home economics. That's what they called it back then. And I was in a class with about 20 nice-looking college girls. I was married at the time, though, and so I had to be very careful. I could look, but, you know, just because it's on the menu doesn't mean you have to partake, right? I did pretty well, if I do say so myself, in home economics. I was the only one who did, our final exam was a souffle that we had to do, and I can't remember what type of souffle, but, you know, souffles have a tendency, they're kind of touchy, and they will fall if you don't do them just right, and mine was the only one that didn't fall. So the guy did it right. All right. If you're buying a sweet surprise, though, this little trivia tells me I should buy milk chocolate, not dark chocolate. Okay, let's see what the third thing is here. Good Friday is only honored in some states. That's kind of interesting. I wonder why that is. I'm sure it'll tell me as I move along. Good Friday. Now, Good Friday is, I believe Good Friday was the day that Christ was crucified. Is that not correct? I may be wrong there. Boy, it's hard to imagine that a guy who was raised in the Methodist Church, a son of a minister, can't honestly tell you that. I thought Easter was the day he arose. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that would be 3 days. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, while Good Friday is a major holiday in all Catholic services, only about 12 out of the 50 states consider Friday before Easter an actual federal holiday. And that, I guess that's true. I never did get Good Friday off. If I wanted to go to a Good Friday service, which quite often was held at lunchtime, usually my employer would allow me to take 2 hours for lunch instead of the normal 30 minutes or 1 hour. And I could go to that, and quite a few times I would say I was going to that, and then I just took a two-hour lunch. I know, that was really bad, but I did it. Kind of like lying to your mother, right? Sometimes you have to. Okay, now, if there are any little kids listening, you better not do that, because they always catch you, always. My mother always knew when I was lying to her. Now, I do have a story about my son. My eldest son told his mother and I, actually he told his mother, I happen to be listening, but he told his mother one of the times that he had gone over to Jeff, that was his best friend in high school, and one of the times he had gone over to Jeff's house to spend the night, they actually went to a rock concert up in Cleveland, and we knew nothing about that. And had my wife known about that, it wouldn't have happened. She would have said, she would have sat on that car and not let them go. But he told us probably about 10 years after the fact, and apparently got away with it with no ill effects. Like I said, only 12 of the 50 states consider Friday before Easter an actual federal holiday. Most of the country will go to work on Good Friday, as we all know. Now, this Good Friday, which is tomorrow, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Most of this country will not be, a lot of this country will not be going to work tomorrow. So it will be sort of an unannounced holiday for all of you. So, and you won't be going to church. Most churches are not in session. I really find it hard to imagine that any minister would want his flock to come and be, you know, a foot apart and partake in holy sacraments, going one person to the next person, drinking out of a chalice and eating off of a loaf of bread that other people have touched. I just cannot imagine that most ministers will have that in effect. Now, some people will, and I guess each to his own. I wouldn't, and I wouldn't recommend it. But if that's what floats your boat, I guess we'll talk to you after it's over, and hopefully continue to talk to you for months on end. Do you know why we give eggs to each other? You know, I love the Easter egg hunts. I was involved in them at the credit union for quite a while because we got involved with the organizations that did it as nonprofits, and we would support those, and it was just great fun to watch the little guy. I just love watching little kids, the smiles on their face when they find something, you know. Especially, you know, there might be 4,000 eggs out in the middle of a field, but they find the one that just floats their boat, and they get that huge smile, and they look over at mommy and wave and point to the egg. I just love that. That's what makes the world go around for years, truly. I have 7 grandchildren. I must admit, I was more enamored with my children than my grandchildren, but things have changed now. Grandpa's getting so he really likes having grandchildren. I still love my children. What are you doing for Easter? My youngest son, he's a vintner. He makes wine out in California. So I got to watch him last night. He does a podcast talking about what makes a good wine and so forth. And he has I'll give him a little plug. He has a podcast on Majestic Oak Vineyard Instagram every Wednesday night at, I think it's 8:30. And you can go on there. And he and his beautiful wife, it's worth just going there to watch his wife. She's such a beautiful girl. They will give you, and she's brilliant when it comes to wines. They will give you a lesson, Wine 101 from A to Z. And you can call and type in questions. Let's see if I can remember any of the questions last night. Questions like, what is the best wine your vineyard has ever done? What wine goes with the steak? What wine tastes like another? You know, lots of really interesting questions. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, I'll give him a plug. He's not paying me, so it's okay. It's Majestic Oak Vineyard. You can go to their website even right now. There is a Majestic Oak Winery here in Ohio, but this is Majestic Oak Vineyard in Ojai, California. Not spelled like Ohio. What is it? O-J-A-I. Anyway, I lost my page here. Got to get back to my page. Hang on. I'll find it again. There it is. Nothing worse than losing your page when you're pulling up trivia questions on the internet, right? Okay. Why do we give eggs at Easter? Well, it's a pretty obvious answer. Giving eggs is a symbol of rebirth in many cultures. And you can understand that. Chicken before the egg, or the egg before the chicken. The egg is, you know, the beginning of a new baby chicken, and that's kind of the symbolism of it. It symbolizes new life. It symbolizes fertility and rebirth, because it comes from a mama chicken, and it's a reborn little critter if it's fertilized. And lots of them are not. The ones we eat are not. They don't have roosters walking around fertilizing them. They're just eggs that are laid. Thanks to the round shape, it also is used as the symbol of the earth and our connection to nature. That's what this trivia page says. I'm not sure that I've ever thought of an egg as symbolizing earth, but okay. You know, some of the greatest photography I've ever seen was a gentleman who photographed eggs in black and white with real high resolution, showed the texture of the egg, and it was sitting in the one I really liked was sitting on a white surface, and it was very stark, but it was a beautiful picture of an egg. I used to love photography. That was one of those classes I took in college I was pretty sure I was going to get an A or a B. I took photography for 2 years, and I really, really enjoyed it. I was a pretty good photographer, if I do say so myself. I have this one picture of it's a bridge with a bunch of geese and ducks swimming under the bridge, and the fog is rolling over the top of the bridge, and they're all dark ducks and geese and that sort of thing, except for one white one, and it always spoke to me, that one. Anyway. How many millions, and jelly beans are absolutely loved in America. How many jelly beans do you suppose we consume every Easter? You're not going to believe this. And I love jelly beans, but I was a little stunned at the number of jelly beans that we consume on Easter Day. Are you ready for this? 16 million jelly beans on Easter Day. That's not per year. 16 million of them. That's enough jelly beans to circle the globe. Not once, not twice, but three times. I don't know what the measurement of a jelly bean is, but there's probably an average measurement that they're using. I know those little tiny ones. I love the little tiny, you know, the little gourmet jelly beans. I love those, but I don't think they would circle the earth three times. Let's see. One of the things a lot of people love to do with those jelly beans is stick them in those bigger plastic eggs. That seems to be a tradition that we've picked up here in the United States. You know, another tradition that they do with those plastic eggs, quite often you'll see people hang them on trees now, kind of like Christmas ornaments on there, but they're usually they're on trees outside, on the low-hanging branches. Don't climb up on the ladder. I was up on a very tall ladder this weekend, or this week, trimming my burning bush branches off of. I had a burning bush that had grown taller than my house, so I had to go way up high and chop the top off of that and then trim it back. I was okay. Didn't fall down or anything. I better be careful of that. I'm getting to the age where there are some falls involved, and I've had a couple of falls. I fell off the back of a fire truck. I don't know if you all know Randy's fire truck that's in just about every parade that we have here in town. I fell off the back of that one time. I jumped up fast because I didn't want anybody to think I was hurt, but I think I hurt for about 2 weeks after that. All right. Why do you think pretzels are linked to Easter as well? Now, see, I never thought that pretzels were, and then I started asking some people when I looked at this question, and people seem to know that pretzels are linked to Easter. Well, supposedly it's because the twist of the pretzel looks like the arms crossed in prayer. I guess you can pay homage to that sweet treat that way. And a lot of them are chocolate covered, so they're really good. Or the white chocolate covered ones. I love those the best. I just don't see, I never crossed my arms in prayer, but apparently some people do. My father used to have a prayer circle where we would cross each other's arms. You know, you would hook arms, but I never remember. I do remember that my mother made me kneel by my bed to say my prayers, but I didn't cross my arms. Oh, well, that's what it says right here on this trivia question page. Easter Bunny didn't always lay eggs. Now, that doesn't surprise me. And now, let's see if it will tell us why Easter... It would be very difficult for an Easter bunny to lay an egg. The egg's almost as big as a bunny's head. Of course, a human baby is bigger than their mom's head. I never did understand that. I'm glad I'm a male. I hope my wife's not listening. Anyway, I remember, let me tell you a little story about having babies. I think this was my last child, and we were in the hospital, and one of the guys whose wife was in the waiting room, or he was in the waiting room for his wife with me, we got struck up a conversation. I found out that he had five children, or no, he had seven children, and they were all male. And so he said, well, we're trying for a little girl, and I understood that. And she and my wife delivered at the same, roughly the same time, and they were both in the room after their delivery, and the doctor came in and told me I had a little boy, and we were all happy and everything. And the doctor came in to tell my friend, who had seven boys at this point, that he had a new baby boy. So he had his eighth boy, and he audibly said, oh, well, we can try again. And you could audibly hear his wife groan. It made us all laugh except for her. Oh, me. Well, it's 12:39, by the way. You're listening to WWGH. I'm Glenn Coble. We're on Swap Shop, even though we're not swapping while this virus is going on. But you are welcome to call in if you have anything you'd like to talk about Easter. The number is 740-383-9944. Don't feel obligated. I'm going to run through these trivia things whether you call or not. So I think I have 17 of them that are kind of interesting, and we'll talk about them, and you can think about them and think what your answer would be. Okay, the question is, the Easter Bunny didn't always lay eggs. Let's see what it says about that. The fluffy bunny stems from the Anglo-Saxon festival. Now, Anglo-Saxon was English. Anglo-Saxon festival of Easter, which features a spring goddess who used the rabbit to represent fertility. Now, rabbits have been given that moniker for a long time. They are the animal of fertility. You know, the old joke about did the rabbit die? That always made me feel bad. Anyway, it wasn't until Germans settled in Pennsylvania in the 1700s that the tradition of the bunny, now see, Anglo-Saxon, by the way, is English and German, which is my family. Anyway, it wasn't until the Germans settled Pennsylvania in the 1700s that the tradition of the bunny that lays eggs came to the United States. Much to the chagrin of many a bunny, I'm sure. But bunnies are cute. We have several in my yard. They are not very nice to my garden. But I put up fencing, and it seems to hold most of them out. I did put up fencing last year, and a little baby bunny, and I mean it was little. It was as small as my fist. A little baby found a way in but couldn't find its way out, so I saved it. We let it out. I hope the hawk that frequents our neighborhood didn't find him. Anyway, all right, let's keep on moving. 12:42 almost. And you're listening to WWGH with Glenn Coble here on Swap Shop. And we'll be going until 1 o'clock. Make sure you stay clear of other people. Do all the necessary things. I'm wearing a face mask now, you should always you should do that. We talked about that earlier on Scott's show, or on Charlie's show, which Scott and I kind of co-hosted, that you need to... you need to make sure you do all the things you can do to avoid getting yourself sick, especially if you're in my age group. Those of us in the 60s, 70s, and above need to be more careful, because if you get the disease, you're much more likely to succumb to it. So let's all avoid that. What do you say? All right. Buying a new outfit for Easter stems from what superstition? I was never given a new outfit for Christmas. I had the same ugly brown suit every week, and I had to wear it to church. I hated the color brown, and as I got older, they just bought me new brown suits. As I got, just kept going. If I had kept every one of those suits, I would have had suits that all looked exactly identical from the time I was 5 years older, maybe even younger, till I finally left the house and went to college. I always had that ugly brown suit. And it was not a nice brown. It was an ugly brown. Don't ask me why. It was what my mom wanted, right? And you do what your mom wants. Even if my mom was alive today, I would still do what she wanted. Okay. Back in the mid-1800s, hang on 1 second. I thought I was going to sneeze. Back in the mid-1800s in New York, people believed that buying new clothes to wear on Easter would bring them good luck. Well, I hated to tell them, it took some of their money away. But anyway, they thought it would bring them good luck for the rest of the year. And lucky for us, the custom continues so that all you people who get new suits or new clothes for Easter, more power to you. It's kind of interesting how traditions have changed. When I was a young man, I was talking about this last week with my wife. When I was a young man, probably until I was in my 30s, you always wore a sport coat or a suit, the men did, to church, and the women always wore a nice dress. As a matter of fact, some women, depending on the church and depending, especially the Catholic churches, wore doilies on their heads. I'm not sure if I'm using that term correctly, but, some sort of lace covering on their heads. And it was kind of neat. I'm not one of those people that likes to go back to days gone by, and I'm not one of those people that reveres everything that happened in the past. As a matter of fact, if you ever listen to my show on Wednesdays, A Progressive Life, you'll find out pretty much I'm okay with throwing them into the ash can of history and moving forward. But it looked nice. I got to admit that when you went to church, everybody looked nice. Now it's even the ministers anymore tend to dress more casually. It depends on the church that you go to. If it's more of a evangelical or Christian, country style church, I'm not using the correct terms. But if it's that type, there's more casual attire. If you tend to go to a more traditional church, like a Lutheran church or a Presbyterian church or Episcopal church specifically, they tend to be more dressed up. My father, he wore a black robe, and when he got his Doctor of Divinity, the robe had like sergeant stripes. They weren't really that. They were wide velvet stripes outlined with red piping, and that kind of was supposed to indicate that he had a religious degree, advanced degree. And I think there are different churches have different things like that. We don't really dress up for church anymore, I don't believe. Maybe on Christmas and maybe on Easter, but the rest of the days, the rest of the Sundays, if we ever get back to going back to church, we tend to not dress up like we used to. Where do you suppose the world's largest chocolate egg was made? Wasn't Hershey. One might have thought it was Hershey, Pennsylvania, but it was not. The world's largest chocolate Easter egg was made in Italy. in April, which would stand to reason, because quite often Easter is in April. In April of 2011, guess how big this thing was? It measured 34 feet and 1 5/100 of an inch in length. Not diameter. It was 34 feet long. It weighed 15,873 pounds. How in the world can you make a chocolate egg that big? Now, if it had had, if it was a Reese's egg with peanut butter on the inside, I might have eaten my way through that thing. That is one big, huge egg. All right. I just got a notification on my phone that the hospitalization appears to have leveled of coronavirus victims in New York. That would be a great thing to hear. Let's hope that is true. All right, let's get back to our, it's 12:49. You're listening to Glenn Coble on Swap Shop. And I did play the Swap Shop, and I will continue to play the Swap Shop theme song because I know Charlie Evers hates it. And I love to tease Charlie. Charlie's a great guy. He is, as Scott would say, a Marian icon. As a matter of fact, he's pretty much an icon in any area in Ohio. All right. Meanwhile, Easter bonnets are relatively new concepts in the United States. That kind of surprises me. My grandmother always had a new Easter bonnet. Now, Grandpa and Grandma Coble, Grandpa was a doctor in Marion County, Indiana, which is Indianapolis. He was the very first coroner in Indianapolis. And kind of an important being. So his wife had some pretty nice clothes. They had a butler and a maid. Every time we would go to Grandpa and Grandma's house for something like Easter or Christmas, we had to dress up in suit and tie. It was required. I don't know who required it, but my mother required it of me. And everybody who was at one of their dinners was always dressed to the hilt. All right. Back in 1933, composer Irving Berlin introduced the Easter bonnet into American pop culture. And you remember the ballad Easter Parade? Well, today it is one of the most popular songs for that holiday. In your Easter bonnet. You know, I'm not going to sing. I don't know the words. It's a little hard to sing in this mask. All right. Anyway, Irving Berlin kind of started that. And it's interesting that so many of our Christian traditions have music around them written by Jewish composers. I love it. You know, I was telling my wife last night, I just love that the United States of America has so many different colors, so many different religions, so many different ethnic backgrounds. We are, it's a glorious melting pot. I love the United States and our distinct differences of all the different people. That's kind of what made me the progressive that I am. Decorating eggs comes from a Ukrainian tradition. Now, we told you why initially they were dyed in red to signify the blood of Christ. But the ornate eggs were called pisankas, and they were made using wax and dyes. It wasn't until Ukrainian immigrants came to the U.S. That the colorful custom caught on, you know, where they make kind of fancy eggs. Now, you can get eggs that are very, very ornate. Some people even make, they take the insides out by poking a hole in both ends and draining them out, and then they make them into a piece of art that will last as long as somebody doesn't drop it or sit on it. They will last for a long time as a piece of art. All right. Question number 12. We're getting close. It's 12:53. Clock is running. You're listening to WWGH 107.1, and I'm Glenn Coble, your host. During medieval times, a very different game was played with the eggs. You know, we now use the eggs. We will go out and search for the eggs. Oh, both of my sons are colorblind, and my eldest son was more severely colorblind than my younger one. He could not find eggs. We would hide them in the house. And unfortunately, there were certain colors he just didn't see. And he'd get so angry because my younger son and my daughter would always just wail on him as far as the number of eggs that they would find compared to him. But anyway, they apparently used to throw eggs in a church. Well, that's exactly what happened. The priest would throw a hard-boiled egg to one of the choir boys. He would continue to toss it to his peers, and whoever was holding the egg when the clock struck 12 was the winner and got to keep that hard-boiled egg. I love hard-boiled eggs. There is nothing better, and I had a friend with the popcorn festival that used to make pickled eggs, and they were the best in the world. Oh, I absolutely love pickled eggs. Probably not good for me with a little bit of heart damage that I have. The cholesterol level, I guess, might not be the best thing in the world. I don't eat a whole lot of them. I eat, maybe 3 eggs a week. All right. And if there's a doctor out there that wants to tell me to stop eating those 3 eggs, it'll be like my wife telling me I can't have my 16-ounce beer once a week. It's probably not going to happen. All right. Actually, I've upped that to a 22-ounce of beer a week. All right. I don't get drunk. I just like the taste of beer, and I have it once a week, and it's in a big can, and she got mad at me the other day because I bought 3 more. I don't drink 3. I only drink 1 at a time. The first White House egg roll was in 1878. Boy, it's been going on a long time. And guess who was the president at the time? No, it wasn't Trump. No, it wasn't Obama. Wasn't Reagan. It wasn't Eisenhower. It was Rutherford B. Hayes. He was the president at that time. But it was really President Nixon, believe it or not, who first included a bunny in the festival with a member of his wife's staff as the lucky person who got to wear the costume. Now, I've worn costumes before. Not a big fan. I'm not a tiny person, and sometimes they don't fit very well. They're quite often too short. We had ours, when I was at the credit union, we had our mascot made by our I'm trying to get the name of the company. It's right here on Center Street. Custom Costumes, I believe it is. Did a fantastic job, but I was too tall. I just couldn't fit in it. But it wasn't made for me anyway. And we always had usually one of the young ladies that was one of our tellers who'd wear it. It worked out very well. Beautiful costume. Still love it. Easter is the second biggest candy-consuming holiday. That's pretty wild. Now, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to guess what the number one candy-consuming holiday is in the United States. Americans spend approximately $1.9 billion on Easter candy. That's what they spent last year. This year will probably be somewhat curtailed just because of the virus. But, yeah, it'll be a little bit less. Okay, I've given you your 10 seconds. Okay, the husband says it's one thing, and the wife says it's another thing. Well, I'm going to tell you the answer. It's Halloween. Halloween, and Halloween is, I think, only the second, or is the second most gift-giving or spending holiday behind Christmas, I believe. Anyway, that's it's Halloween is the most, you give away more candy at Halloween. Well, that's because everybody is eating their out of their own little bag of Halloween candy. Okay, we've got to hurry here. It used to take more than a day to make a peep. You know what a peep is, those little marshmallow candies. Approximately 27 hours, to be precise. That was back in 1953 when the candy was made. It would take... But today they have machines that make it much faster. They can make a peep, a group of peep, in just about 6 minutes, okay? Americans eat more than 600 million peeps during the year. 600. I like peeps, and they get stale pretty fast, so I don't mind them stale either. They're pretty good. All right, and the last question, most Americans bite off the ears of the chocolate bunny first. Now, I bite the whole head off. I'm kind of gluttonous that way. 76% of the people say that they chop off the ears with their first bite. Well, you've been listening to Glenn Coble here on Swap Shop. We haven't been swapping, but we've been shopping and talking, and we will do that again coming up here a week from today. And also make sure to tune in tomorrow morning. Scott will have his show on, and we might get another call in from Charlie. It was a great one today, and we hope you stick with us. Glenn Coble saying adios. You're on WWGH Radio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.